Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere in the nation on that free Odyssey app. It is 410, 78 degrees on this Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. And it's always great to bring in our experts and our friend of the show. And we have Robert Pizzini, Navy EOD expert. Technician, retired, best-selling author of Elevate Your Leadership, and owner of I Fly Virginia Beach. And we'll talk about all those in a minute. But he was also the officer in charge of the Nuclear Response Navy EOD team. So, Robert, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Always good to be on the show.
So, you know, we were talking earlier, and what we're talking about here is this 15-ton, it's known as the GBU-57AB Massive Ordnance Penetrator. It's this bunker buster bomb that they've been talking about that possibly the U.S. could use to take out Iran's deep nuclear facility that's buried in a mountainside. And I was asking the questions of the pros and cons of this. If we do use this type of weapon and it implodes that entire area, what type of fallout is there? You know, can other terrorist groups down the road years later go in there and of course, hazardous to themselves, but get nuclear material or radioactive material that they could use later for a dirty bomb or some kind of nefarious reasons? Or is it better to not go this route and maybe try to negotiate, get inspectors in there to disable, dismantle this system and remove it altogether, which is what what was originally on the table from the Trump administration?
Yeah, well, your second option is definitely the better option. Avoiding spread and release of contamination, although it would be very limited because we're talking about centrifuges that are processing uranium versus a reactor, which is taking processed uranium, exposing it to neutrons and creating heat or fission or fusion, you know, the nuclear cycle, the criticality cycle. So that's not, you know, that's not what exists at Fordow in particular. But what does exist is a lot of uranium that they're in the process of enriching. And uranium by itself in these various stages of enrichment, in combination with the fact that this is so deep underground and it's surrounded by mountain and rock, there wouldn't be a radioactive cloud per se, and this downwind contamination, like we saw with Chernobyl, for example. But again, to your point, a tactical ground operation, a raid of some sort, or better yet, getting an Iranian faction to take control and capitulate would definitely be the best option.
Now, you've trained in your career for this type of response. You've trained for these types of weapons. This GBU-57AB Massive Ordnance Penetrator, I mean, they're saying it's 15-ton bunker buster. Is this the largest in our arsenal that's public to the known to the public at this time?
Yeah, it's similar in size. So it's 10,000 pounds of high explosive, which is similar to the Moab, the mother of all bombs that was dropped in Afghanistan during the first Trump administration. But this one, it's called a bunker buster for a different reason. There's a slight delay element. There's a couple different configurations, but I believe on the 57, there's a slight delay element for a first detonation, or there's a first detonation, excuse me, there's a slight delay element to allow the mass to penetrate to a certain extent, to penetrate the rock. Then there's a first detonation, and then, you know, microseconds later, there's a second detonation. So the first detonation creating greater access for the second detonation to reach deeper into the target, the bunker in this case.
Now, have you had a chance to look at the aerial satellite photos of this area, the mountainside, the bunker? It looked like there were several entrances, several buildings built into the side of this mountain. You know, what kind of repeated attack would this take on our part to make sure that it's disabled totally?
Yeah, well, you know, that depends on the desired end state, President Trump's desired end state. Is he looking for the government to change its behavior permanently, or is he looking to, you know, totally destroy a refining capability, a nuclear capability, you know? And I think the desired end state is, Trump has even said that, surrender. We're not looking for peace talks or, ceasefire. We're looking for total surrender. So what best achieves that? What best will achieve that? Destroying that facility in total, which there's other ways to attack that facility that aren't being discussed as well. You could take out all the access points to that facility, and basically you're denying access to anybody to get to it. You could do area denial through landmine and aerial dropped explosive mines, essentially, to deny access for a period of time to that facility. But then that does create something, a hazard for people who would access it down the road, assuming the Iranian government capitulated. Then that becomes an EOD problem to gain access. So there's a few different ways to deal with this other than just destroying this facility outright.
And as far as the residual that would be left if it is attacked, if it's not an inspection, dismantlement type thing, could it be used down the road by any entity for nefarious reasons, whatever's left there? I know you said it was different stages of reactors, but we've seen back where, bad actors have dug up, nuclear waste and have used it to possibly try to get dirty bombs or such like that. Could this be used in that manner as well?
So in theory, it could. It would take, two things. One is people who don't know what they're doing would probably injure themselves trying to acquire, they would expose themselves to certain levels of radiation. And if they don't have proper protection, if they don't understand a little bit of science behind what radiological isotopes do, they'd probably hurt themselves. So you do need people with training to come in and number one, acquire or capture, and number two, to turn it into something of enough volume to create what's essentially called a radiological dispersal device, an RDD, which just denies area for people. If a radiological dispersal device goes off anywhere, then that landmass is denied until that problem is cleaned up or dealt with in some capacity. So the risk of that is a factor, but I think that is a low risk component, especially if there was mass devastation, because then some element, I think, would have to go into that site at some point if it's destroyed. An element of the Israeli army or some other force would have to further assess the site and ensure that the scenario you just painted is also eliminated.
All right, so there would be follow-up on-the-ground activities there to make sure that it could never be nefariously used, cordoned off, or whatever need be there.
Yeah, I think there would have to be, for sure.
As far as what we're seeing now with the Israeli attacks on the perimeter, the peripheral nuclear facilities that aren't there deep embedded, and basically the total collapse of the Iranian air defense system. They did have a pretty robust air force that we haven't seen anything from. It appears that there's free reign over the airspace of Iran, where you've seen Israel just use tactical, like going through windows or going through the side of doors, blowing out bedrooms type strikes, to where Iran is just indiscriminately lobbing either surface-to-surface ballistic missiles, surface-to-air ballistic missiles, or drones. Where do you think Iran stands as far as their capability to do much of anything at this point, rather than just lob indiscriminately?
Yeah, so I think they were degraded 9 months, I can't remember, maybe 9 months ago or so, when the last exchange between Israel and Iran took place. So their air defenses were degraded significantly back then. Around the same time, Hezbollah, the Beeper attacks on Hezbollah, and some of the other activities that the Israelis were doing. And what they were doing is, in this real precise but very long-term way, they were breaking down the Iranian offensive and defensive mechanism. So I wouldn't call Iran a sitting duck at this point, but I would say that they're gasping as a military capability. They are on their last breaths, and they have no teeth And they really haven't throughout this entire exchange to do anything significant. And you know, as we've seen, every time they rearm a launcher, they lose, or you know, all their launchers, they lose half of them because the Israeli intelligence system picks up the location of these launchers and takes them out. The other thing they're doing is hitting the storage sites for the missiles that ultimately go on these launchers. So they're again, their offensive capability, their defensive, they have no defensive capability, or so little that it's insignificant at this point. And then their offensive capability has probably got days left in being able to launch a single missile.
Now, are you getting any feedback from members of your former community in naval, you know, the Navy EOD or anything of that matter? You see a lot in the media likening this to the weapons of mass destruction back in Iraq, where, you know, that there was nothing there. This was all a lot of hyperbole. Is the intelligence you're hearing from people that are doing this now on the ground, your friends and colleagues from Navy EOD or special warfare from wherever, are they that close to developing something?
So, you know, I don't have access to classified information. I would say anything I would reference would be open source. But it is widely believed that, you know, there's a few different things that go into creating a nuclear weapon that you can use. One is developing an implosion or a device that will create criticality or what's called supercriticality, right? So that's where you process uranium from how it was mined from the earth into what's called U-238 or U-239, which is highly enriched uranium. And then that highly enriched uranium has to be exposed to some type of neutron emitter to create a supercritical reaction or a nuclear explosion. So that's one component. Another component is a delivery system, you know, a tactical bullet, a missile, a ballistic missile, something that goes into outer space and comes back. So delivery, their delivery systems are also, or have been attacked, I should say, and their technology and their advancement in delivery systems is equally as important to disable as are their ability to enrich uranium and assemble the components that ultimately result in a nuclear weapon. So there's you got to hit this thing from kind of 5.1 surround sound, if you will.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're speaking to Robert Pizzini. He's a former Navy EOD technician. He was the officer in charge of the nuclear response for the Navy EOD teams. He's also the best-selling author of Elevate Your Leadership. You can get that on Amazon, correct, Robert?
Yeah, it's available pretty much wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc.
All right. And again, if you're in Virginia Beach this summer on vacation, you want to check out I Fly Virginia Beach Indoor Skydiving. I've been to this facility. It's just outstanding. So I highly recommend that for anybody headed to the Virginia Beach area for a vacation or a long weekend this summer.
Yeah, the summer's here. We are rocking and rolling and, you know, mom, dad, and the kids all day long. We're a family activity. And especially if the weather's not nice outside, we always have stable weather conditions and a nice breeze inside. So come see us at I Fly Virginia Beach for sure.
Absolutely. You got party rooms and everything, right?
Yeah, party rooms, birthday parties. We do corporate events. That's really, you know, one of the coolest things we've developed and you're fully aware of. We have leadership and team development through some of our corporate offerings. And we have, of course, you know, centering around the flight experience. And Some leadership and team development experiences have you walk across hot coals. We have you fly in a flight chamber with a team of your people, team of your peers, and the net effect is the same. You face a challenge as a group, you overcome it, and you've really expanded your comfort zone. So our leadership and team development is really taking off, and so we have corporate offerings, we have private offerings, we have professional training. The whole range.
And if you're just down there with your friends on the weekend, stop in and see if you can get a space.
That's it, for sure, like you've done.
And absolutely. Robert Pizzini, I appreciate you talking with us today and your expertise in this matter.
Thanks, Rob. Have a great day.
You too, my friend. It's 425 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast from Chief Meteorologist Kurt Aaron. Tonight, foggy with some showers and downpours, a low of 68. There will be some dense fog in spots. Tomorrow, Thursday, partly sunny with some showers and storms in the afternoon, high of 85. Friday, mix of sun and clouds with an isolated shower, high of 82. Saturday, mostly sunny with an isolated storm, high 87. Sunday, mostly sunny with a hot and isolated storm, high of 91. So each day, weather goes up and up and up and up, but we knew this was coming.